Good morning, good people. This morning, I'm talking with Brianna Lathrop, author of How Neighborhoods Make Us Sick. But first, we're joined by Fulton County District Attorney Paul Howard about the lawsuit he filed against the U.S. Justice Department concerning the death of former CAU student Jamarion Robinson, who was shot and killed by U.S. Marshals at his girlfriend's apartment in 2016. D.A. Paul Howard, welcome to the Local Tape.
Thank you. I'm very happy to be here to speak with you and your audience.
I spoke with Monteria Robinson, Jamarion's mom, in 2016 after the death of her son, and I can tell you her pain was palpable. Fill this whole studio. Can you tell us what happened and why you felt the need to file this suit?
Well, as you said, the incident happened on the 5th of August of 2016, and in February of the next year, we received the investigative report from the Georgia Bureau of Investigation. As you were probably aware, when a homicide takes place that involves law enforcement officers, the GBI is called in to investigate. Well, when we received the report from the GBI, we discovered that several things were missing. One of the most important things that was not included is a report of an investigation done by the U.S. Marshals, because you would just assume that if someone was killed in this fashion, that a report or some kind of evaluation, an internal evaluation would take place. We had no indication that such an evaluation had taken place, and we did not have any report. So what we started to do was to write letters to the Justice Department asking for, among other things, that report, the substance of that report. We have written them three letters, and we have not been able to obtain that report and other bits of information. So the other strategy that we pursued was to try to get a chance to speak with the 16 officers that were involved in the incident. To this point, we have been blocked from having complete interviews with them. And I say complete interviews is because after our third letter, the Justice Department indicated to us that we could interview the officers, but we had to do it in their presence, and that they would limit and control the questions that we asked, which I thought was really unusual that in a case involving the death of a young person, as in this circumstance, that the local DA would be restricted with respect to the questions that they were asked. We actually had a meeting with our U.S. attorney, Mr. Park, in November of 2017, and we asked him directly for the information. We did not receive a response from him. We have not received a response from him. So in September of last year, we started to ask for the same information through open records requests. And we have not had any of those requests complied with. And so we decided that we would just file a lawsuit because we need that information to complete our investigation. And we plan to complete our investigation. And we felt that this was the only step that we had available to us, was to move ahead and file this lawsuit.
D.A. Howard, for a lot of us outside of law enforcement, it always seems that, you know, local law enforcement, the Justice Department, that you guys work hand in hand. Why do you think they are being so unresponsive in this particular case?
Well, generally, if it had been a matter that only involved state actors, local police, generally, we have been able to get the kind of information that we need. But this is the federal government, and what they said to us in our letters is essentially that the investigation of this death was not our business. And I want your audience members to understand what that means. Because if we don't investigate Jamarian's death, what it appears is there will be no investigation of his death. And so that's why we're so insistent that this take place. We have looked at some of the history of this relationship between the federal government and when someone is killed locally, and we found that this is something that is going on all over the country, that the federal government simply says, that's not your business, local jurisdiction. It's a federal matter, and it does not get investigated. And that's why we believe that this is such an important issue, one that required us to file this lawsuit.
You know, another part of this case is that the police, the law enforcement, were well aware that Jamarian had some mental health challenges. I would think when you are approaching someone with that knowledge that you're using extra caution because you are aware that sometimes people who are not in control of their mental health, you know, might have weird responses. You know, what kind of response should law enforcement use when they are engaging with our citizens who they know have a mental health challenge?
Well, I think the point that you raised is an excellent point. It's a point that we've raised before, because what we've asked in this case, we believe that the police conducted a briefing before the shooting took place. And like you, we would expect that in that briefing, some consideration would be made to the fact that Jamarian Robinson had recently suffered some psychological issues. You simply would not treat him in the same way that you would treat someone else. So we have been trying to find out exactly what was planned, what kind of criteria, what measures were set up to ensure that they could go in and remove him safely. That is what normally happens with local police departments. When you are aware that someone already is involved or possesses some kind of psychological issues, then the way that you deal with that person, it has to be different. And what we're trying to find out is, did that happen in this case?
You know, another thing that breaks my heart about this case is that over 50 bullets entered this young man's body. And I don't understand how that could ever be considered, you know, an acceptable response. It actually appears that law enforcement, you know, lost control. How is that ever considered the response in any situation?
Well, I believe that your feelings are correct. The police, in fact, fired more than 90 times. And Mr. Robinson was struck 59 times. Because of just the numbers alone, I believe that those facts cry out for a release of information, that the persons involved with this should be transparent. As you mentioned from the very beginning, this family has gone through so much. The community that we live in has had to endure this, and I think that there is an obligation on the part of our federal government to make this information available to this community and to the DA's office, because I think that that's the question that I'm asked almost every day by someone: why did they shoot the man 59 times?
Now, this question, and I'm not in law enforcement. I have an uncle who was a police officer. I have a cousin who is a Louisiana State Patrol. So I have a lot of respect for law enforcement. But isn't it possible that law enforcement could walk away, you know, from these situations? At the time of this encounter, Jamarian was in his apartment. He wasn't engaged with anyone. He wasn't hurting anyone. you know, they go to try and bring him in. It's not working out. Can't you just walk away and reengage at a later time when, you know, cooler heads can prevail? Is that ever an option?
Well, I think that it's a matter of training and it is a matter of philosophy. I think if the philosophy of that department is that we will take every measure to protect and ensure life, I think then that department would walk away from this situation with Mr. Robinson still being alive. So I think that as time has moved on, many of the local departments are now engaged in training that would allow those police officers to de-escalate any kind of confrontation with a citizen. This was not one of the situations where there was a de-escalation, and that is one of the reasons that we need to find out exactly what went on and what motivated these officers. Like you, I'm personally acquainted with a number of police officers. My brother was a police officer. I've talked to people who are on fugitive squads, and they arrest people all of the time without firing one shot. So we're struggling to figure out why is it that in this case, someone fires 90 times.
District Attorney Paul Howard, I want to thank you so much for taking the time to share this information with us today. I'm going to ask you to come back and, you know, share with us again as this case moves forward. Thank you so much for what you're doing to support Jamarion Robinson and to find out exactly, you know, what happened that day.
Well, thank you, and I hope that you would continue to keep an eye on this case, that you would continue to support the Robinson family so that all of us can simply get to the bottom of it and find out the truth.
Thank you.
Thank you, and have a good year.